Hello again. This is number three in my biblical reflections on John Carroll's book, The Wreck of Western Culture. We've seen so far that God declares that he is the I am. I will be who I will be, the one who is answerable to no one because he has created everything out of nothing. But humans in particular, explicitly humanists and atheists and implicitly sinners, claim God's title of I am for themselves. Today I want to reflect on the Bible's teaching about God's reaction to this rejection of him. In a word, God's reaction is death. And so here are five things the Bible teaches about death. Firstly, death teaches us wisdom. We mustn't avoid thinking about death, especially in the middle of a pandemic that we're going through at the moment. For as Ecclesiastes chapter 7 teaches us, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Firstly, then, death teaches wisdom. Secondly, death is God's punishment for sin. See, God's reaction to the arrogance of humans claiming to be the I am is death. Death is what he promised to Adam. Back in Genesis chapter 2, speaking of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Death, as the New Testament teaches us, is the wages that sin pays. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Thirdly, we're already dead while we live. Death doesn't start at the end of life. Death is now and inherent in our life. As it says in Ephesians 2, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." The nature of this spiritual death makes the humanist claims of freedom and rationality preposterous, dangerous deceptions. But I'm not simply spiritually dead. From the day I was born, my body is mortal. I may grow and flourish in the first couple of decades, but after that, the frailty of my body gathers speed as I head towards the grave or the crematorium. Firstly, then, death teaches wisdom. Secondly, death is God's punishment for sin. Thirdly, we're already dead while we're alive. And now, fourthly, death always stands mocking. Mocking the human claim to be I am. The claim to be able to do whatever we want to do and to be whatever we want to be. Death makes a nonsense of it. Death makes all human efforts meaningless. It's not just in the existentialist literature of last century of Camus and Sartre, of Beckett and Pinter, nor the philosophical writings of the 19th century with Nietzsche or the novels of Dostoevsky. The Bible shows the meaninglessness of life in the book of Ecclesiastes as the preacher wrestles with life's meaning. When death stands as the judgment on all our activities, on all people, the wise die just like the fool. So what's the point of being wise? What's the point of trying anything? When everybody is simply standing in the queue heading towards the crematorium, what's the point? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? And where's the justice? Where's the morality? When everybody is treated the same? In fact, we're no different to the beasts, are we? Ecclesiastes asks the question, are we any different to the beasts that perish? And the modern atheist answer is, well, no, not really. But the idea that another human's death is just part of the evolutionary chain of events with no meaning or purpose, that 250,000 people can die of a virus in a month, well, it's just a statistic. It doesn't matter any more than counting the number of cockroaches that have died in the month. The idea that a psychopath's rape and murder is as meaningful and acceptable as a mercy worker caring for the disabled. These atheistic ideas are intolerable and unconscionable. But they're nearly always hidden from the facile debates of the atheists. I mean, listen to Mr. Dawkins. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. Which brings us, fifthly and finally, that death brings us to judgment. For in death we meet our judge. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed to all people to die once, and after that, the judgment." We know that there is purpose. We know there is evil. We know there is good. As Ecclesiastes 3 says in verse 11, "God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Humans can never really get away from that sense of meaning, that need for justice, that horror of death. Or rather, humans should never get away from these things. But in this lifetime, we won't, by the exercise of rationality, find or understand justice. Because it's in our death that we meet our Maker, when true justice is delivered to us. In our death. But wait, there is a place where we could find justice and come to understand it. But that's the next video, when I'm going to share with you about God's death. Until then, bye for now.